Organizing America 3 hours each night. The Rick Smith Show.
And the radio is in the hands of such a lot of fools trying to anesthetize the way that you feel. Radio is a sound salvation.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, TheRickSmithShow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. So coming just around the end of October, October 24th, Pennsylvania's National Organization for Women going to have their big convention here in Harrisburg. Thought it'd be a great opportunity, especially with last night's whatever that was, spectacle, debacle. It certainly was not a debate. Whatever that was, give us a good opportunity to talk about women's issue, because evidently they didn't do it very well last night, which is why I've asked Karen Hunt. She's the president of Pennsylvania Now. Karen, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick.
So
I have to say that debate was nothing but disappointing. I mean, you know, it's just disappointing to hear these leaders line up and just basically leave out half the population in their considerations, you know?
It seems kind of odd that, you know, but I guess, you know, the big punchline of the whole evening, virtually everyone I've talked to says the moment where Fiorina had her, I don't even know why in a debate you would ask the question of, you know, Carly, you know, look at Donald and hear what Donald said and respond to him. It seems kind of sophomoric and dumb, but I think that was the big line of the whole debate.
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah, that seems to be what, you know, I mean, it's a big horse race, and people love to you know, say who won, who lost, you know, in the debate, and she certainly did, you know, hold her own, and at least, you know, for the first time is starting to get some notice. But one thing I just am tired of hearing is our leaders on the Republican side acting like women don't need health care, you know, that women are second-rate citizens, basically,
and even
Carly Fiorina seems to think that as well.
And their attacks on Planned Parenthood, I mean, it was universal. And they weren't, one after the other of the governors said, you know, I did away with it in my state. And I'm going, yeah, I think of all those women, the low-wage workers and all of the women living in poverty who have no doctor that they can go to for contraception or any type of family planning or any care whatsoever. Yeah, congratulations.
Absolutely. I mean, Planned Parenthood is this country's most trusted provider for women's health care. And, you know, I'm sure you've probably heard this before, but 1 in 5 women will rely upon Planned Parenthood for health care at some point in her life. You know, and family planning for women and for families, that's essential health care. So to see them being relentlessly targeted by, you know, people with this anti-women agenda it's very hard to watch, and to watch, you know, Congress, the House, basically, you know, manufacturing yet another political and financial crisis that, you know, to continue just attacking them on this ideological basis. It's sickening to watch. Right?
Another hostage situation, and we're the hostages.
Yes, exactly.
That's the thing that gets me, Karen. We're the hostages in all this.
Well, and, you know, we all need to stand up and let our elected officials know that we demand that they stop playing politics with women's health and women's lives. And that's just the situation we're in.
So let's talk about this for a minute, because, you know, the reality is there are a lot of issues of which none were discussed last night during the debacle, which, you know, I think Bernie Sanders, and I said this at the beginning, I thought of anyone who won the debate, it was Bernie Sanders, because he asked the question, why didn't they bring up poverty? We got nearly 48 million people living in this country in poverty, most of which are children. We've got people who don't have health care. We've got workers who aren't making enough money to be able to support their family. None of that stuff discussed at all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's as if, you know, great majorities of the population don't exist, and it really has to make you wonder, who do they think their audience is? You know, is it the 130 families that are primarily funding their campaigns at this point, or is it the American people? You know, and the American people do, like Bernie Sanders said, the American people do trust Planned Parenthood.
But here's the thing that gets me. And, you know, as I watched the first hour of the debate with my daughter, and I've said this before, you know, my daughter ran away because Ted Cruz scared her to go to bed. But the reality was, when Fiorina came out with the Planned Parenthood video, the video, the heavily doctored video by the group with some euphemistic name, like Center for Medical Progress or some nonsense.
Right.
Heavily doctored. And she came out and basically made some stuff up. You know, even scared my daughter a little bit.
Well, that's absolutely what the campaign is all about. And it is, you know, it's very definitely relentless and obviously really has been brewing for a long time. I mean, it's not, they didn't just, you know, come up with this yesterday. They've been working on it for a long time.
But the truth is,
they have an agenda.
But it was untrue. I mean, that's the thing that gets me. It's flatly not true. The baby on the table, alive, heart beating, arms.
Obviously. And I hope that, you know, as more people do stand up with Planned Parenthood, they make it clear to everybody that they adhere to the highest medical and ethical standards. They are a group that Pennsylvania Now has done, you know, has been in many coalitions with, and they are a really, really good organization.
But the good thing, you know, I got to tell you, Karen, that last night's debate did give my daughter and I an opportunity to talk about the abortion issue. Because, you know, my 13-year-old, she's getting to that age where, you know, some of her friends' older siblings are now, you know, getting themselves pregnant and getting in trouble and stuff going on. And she's like, you know, well, where do you stand? And I said, I'm actually pro-safety. I would prefer people not have abortions, but I don't want to go back to the days where they're in the back alley where people's lives are in danger. And to me, the rational position would be, you know, and I didn't hear this last night out of anyone, would be to promote education and to promote you know, people being able to protect themselves. But none of that last night.
To contraception, sex education, absolutely. But the truth is that pregnancies do not always go as planned. And that's just the bottom line, you know. Contraception is not 100%, you know, doesn't work 100% of the time. And, you know, and then our youth stumble into sex because they haven't been, you know, educated correctly about any of it. And, you know, people don't have access to contraception, for all these reasons and for the medical, you know, simple medical fact that not all pregnancies go, you know, just smoothly. Abortion care is always going to be a reality. It's always going to be necessary health care for women who are pregnant. Yeah. I mean, you know, it just is. And the more, I think it is a good thing that you can talk to your daughter about it, and that you and I can talk about it, that the more people talk about abortion care, the more people will start to understand that it is just one of, you know, it's just part of a continuum of health care for women. You know, including maternity care, including sex education, including access to contraception. This is the reality of women's lives. And for too long, I mean, I remember when I was growing up, whenever someone would start talking about, you know, so-and-so is pregnant, going to have a baby, whatever. My grandfather, you know, an older gentleman, he would get up and leave the room like that was the polite thing to do, you know. And so it's not just abortion care. People don't want to talk about, you know, they don't want to talk about women being pregnant. They don't want to talk about women being pregnant at the workplace, for instance, you know, abortion care, access to contraception, sex education, you name it, you know. I mean, it really is, if you think about it, it's all related.
Yeah.
You know, we need to talk about these things.
Yeah, but I got the sense of all the, you know, Snow White and the other 10 dwarfs there, I didn't get the sense that any of them would ever talk about that stuff because it's taboo. I think they're still all in that world. But here's the thing that gets me. I mean, if you're anti-abortion, if you really truly are of pro-life, isn't, you know, the idea of education, isn't that something you go, well, let's just prevent people from getting pregnant so we don't have to have abortion? Seems reasonable to me.
Right. Or, you know, and also maybe provide funding so that every kid who is born goes to school, you know, goes to a decent school and gets a hot lunch and things like that.
Exactly. So. You know, make people want to bring children into the world by making sure they have decent jobs, health insurance, educational opportunities. All of those things our grandparents' generation fought for. And the people on that stage seem to be fighting against. I mean, the idea that you would be against a minimum wage increase in this day and age is to me, unfathomable.
I could not agree with you more. And once again, I come back to this question. Well, who is the audience for this group of people?
Right.
Because it's not me. You know, it's not you. It's not you. They're not, working people at all. I don't know the answer really to that question.
Well, then maybe you won't know the answer to the next one, though, because to me, we've got to start building coalitions on how to strengthen the family. I mean, all the pro-family people up there, we've got to be able to strengthen that by making sure families have access to health care and maternity leave, paid maternity leave. Not this you could take 12 weeks off unpaid nonsense, but actually have family value kind of public policy. That seems rational to me.
I absolutely agree with you, and glad you brought it up, because one of the initiatives that we're involved with, we're proud to support the Pennsylvania Agenda for Women's Health, which is a broad legislative initiative by the bicameral bipartisan Women's Health Caucus in the General Assembly in Pennsylvania, that connects the dots between financial security, physical security, and access to healthcare for women and women's health. You know, it's not just for Republicans for too long, they've been attacking abortion care and access to abortion care as a women's health issues, and I put that in quotes, whereas, you know, women's health issues are related to the fact that they have no access to health care, or that they are working with a gender wage gap or for minimum wage, but this Agenda for Women's Health basically is a collection of bills that will help women in the workforce. There's a bill. There are several bills actually that will address the pay equity issue, which is pay equity is equal work for equal pay. The idea that women should be paid equally to do the same work as anybody else. I'm sure you know this too. Probably women earn on average 78 cents to every dollar earned by their male counterparts. And for women of color, the gap is substantially larger, 64 cents for African-American women and 54 cents for Latinas. Over time, that money, that lack of money, that deficit adds up to pretty big numbers for women and the families that rely on them.
And ultimately the children who, as I said at the beginning of this, we have a large number of that 48 million who live in poverty, our children. And, you know, any of that increase helps them as well.
Absolutely right. And also families get to save for emergencies, to help them get the kids to school, you know, to save for retirement, all those things, very important.
I mean, to me, though, Karen, to be honest, to me, all of that sounds great, and I'm all in favor of the legislation. But I say we should be, workers should be joining unions and organizing and collective bargaining and putting things down in contracts to make sure that everyone gets a fair day's pay for a fair day's work. In my entire work life, you know, every job I've ever had, it didn't matter whether you were a woman or a man, you got paid the same because it was written down right there, open, honest, transparent, there for everyone to see.
Absolutely right. And actually, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the wage gap for union members is half of what it is for non-union members. And that it represents a difference in pay of more than $200 per week for female union members as compared to non-union members. So I completely agree with you. Absolutely.
Which is why
a good deal.
Which is why you're seeing the Scott Walkers and the Scott Wagners of the world here in Pennsylvania fighting vehemently to make sure that workers can't join unions. So let me ask you, the big convention's coming up at the end of October here in Harrisburg. And if you want to check out how to maybe come to the big convention on October 24th, you can go to the PennsylvaniaNow.org website. I hope that's right, correct?
That is right. No, that is right. Absolutely. There's a button on our homepage that will take you directly to our event page, which is constantly updated. So,
tell me about it. What's the agenda?
Well, it's Harrisburg, October 24th. We'll have workshops, and we'll cover such topics as, for instance, how to get more feminists into elected office, immigration, the Black Lives Matter movement, financial fitness and literacy. And we'll definitely take a more in-depth look at the Agenda for Women's Health, which we'll talk more about some of the other bills that are in that agenda. And we're going to have a talk by David Cohen and Chris. Kristen Conan, who have written a book about living in the crosshairs, which is the untold stories of anti-abortion terrorism, because there it's not part of the dialogue that's out there right now, you know?
No.
And so we're, and, you know, I think it's going to be a really, really good event, fun event. And again, all the event details are on our website. So.
And the website, PennsylvaniaNow.org. You can go to TheRickSmithShow.com and click on Karen's name. It'll take you right there. What was interesting to me is when I listened to Mike Huckabee talk last night, I was thinking Christian terrorist.
Yes. Yes. I mean, you know, I'm sorry, but these are extreme attitudes. And it's scary to see so many people standing up, you know, presenting themselves to represent our country with these very extreme attitudes.
Which is why I hope folks will show up to the big convention again on October 24th, PennsylvaniaNow.org, the website, if you want to get tickets and get involved and push back against that kind of insanity. I just think it's about time.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Karen, great talking with you. Look forward to talking to you again very soon. Let's take a quick break. Back with your thoughts. 1-888-520-RICK. 1-888-520-7425. This is The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
We got to do it today. No more mindless control. No more disarray.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.